up your name this morning. Lord, may the oil of anointing ever be on the increase in the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for a wonderful time and privilege to worship you acceptably. We thank you, Lord, the entrance to your word gives light. As we go into your word, speak to us. Speak through me, O Lord, comfortably unto your people this morning in the name of Jesus. Grant us the spirit of understanding and revelation. And the grace to obey your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to read some passages of the scriptures. First of all, let's read Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Verse 29. Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sended an ambassage and desired conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land, nor yet for the donkey. But men cast it out. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Also another passage, Matthew chapter 8, verse 34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. These are solemn words today. Amen. They are in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us many things. And he turned, handed over the baton to us that we should go and teach. Preach the gospel, quite all right, and teach them whatsoever he had commanded us. And lo, he's with us always, even to the end of the age. Today, we are not preaching. I'm not preaching. I am going to teach. Amen? Yes. So, just get prepared. Teaching is different from preaching. And the title of this teaching today is The Cost of Discipleship. The Cost of Discipleship. And before we go on, we are going to take a hymn. All to Jesus I surrender. Please, can you put it up? All to Jesus I surrender. Everything about you. So we are going to sing this song, this hymn. Want to go? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all. Stanza 2. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaking, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. The cost of discipleship. In the first place, who is a disciple? The general assumption is that anybody who follows Christ, who just believes, is a disciple. But you see, it's correct in a way, but there are disciples indeed. Amen? And that's where the emphasis is going to be. Disciples indeed. John chapter 8, verse 31 tells us that there are disciples indeed. It's my prayer that you and I will want to be disciples indeed for the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. A disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. We don't want to talk about general discipleship. Maybe you are a carpenter, you have somebody who is understanding, you say disciple, quite all right. And you have a different kind of religions today. Those who follow the master, the founder of the religion, they are disciples. But specifically, we're talking about Christian discipleship and more so the cost of discipleship. So, a disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ who forsakes all to follow him. A disciple believes in Christ's doctrine, rests upon his sacrifices, abides in his spirit, imitates his example, and lives to do his work. A disciple indeed continues serving the Lord, no matter the situation. It's not conditional. Oh, when things are rosy, when things look good, I be a disciple of Christ. There are many fair-weather Christians today. They are Christian because everything looks very good. No persecution, no opposition. So they are disciples. But when the situation changes, when condition changes, some people back out. But a disciple indeed continues no matter the situation. Salvation costs nothing on our part. But discipleship can cost you everything. Take note of that. Salvation is free, costs you nothing. Cost depends on what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. By grace are you saved. But discipleship can cost you everything. We need to hear the total word of God, and that is why God led me to speak on this subject today. So let's take heed to the word that we are going to hear from the Master. Amen. When somebody gives his or her life to Christ, a convert, is a believer, quite all right, born again. That person, you can't really say that person is a disciple in the real sense of the word. But that person is in the process of becoming a disciple if that person continues on, no matter the situation. So all of us want to be disciples indeed. We really want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter the cost. And his grace is very sufficient for us. A disciplined follower of Christ. That word disciple actually comes from discipline. Talk about discipline. A disciple reads, studies, and lives in accordance with the word of God. A disciple learns of Jesus, and in turn, he teaches others. That's who a disciple is. After you have learned of the Lord, you have learned of his ways, and you are following him, you in turn teach others. Amen? That's when we talk about discipleship training and all that. Every one of us, we have that responsibility. A disciple indeed goes through all that. If he continue, we have to continue in his word. If any man come to me and hate his father, that word hatred there, it's an idiom of preference. Just take note of it. It's not in the literal sense to hate somebody, to hate your father and to hate your mother. But in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you and saved you, who is to be first? Jesus. That's where it comes in. When there is need to say, oh, my father has said I should do this. But Jesus says, this is what I need to do. Whom do I go? Whom do I believe? I would rather believe what Jesus has said, obey what Jesus has said, to the displeasure of my father or my mother. That's what is said there. King James language used that word hate, but it says an idiom of preference. Prefer the Lord Jesus Christ to your mother. Prefer the Lord Jesus Christ to your father, to your daughter, to your son, to your brother, to your sister, and to your friends. That's what it's all about. Putting Jesus where he belongs, number one, on the throne as the King of Kings. Amen. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all in your life. Take note of that. He has to be number one. Number one. Before your wife. Before your husband. What does God say about this matter? That's what matters most to a disciple. Simply put, a disciple must love Jesus more than father, more than mother, more than brother, more than sister, more than children, and more than self. It's a tough word today, I guess, and I know it is. But you see, it's not all the time we drink milk. Sometimes we have to eat solid food, and this is real solid food for us to grow in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Simply put, disciple must love Jesus more than all these relations, more than your family members, your aunties, your uncle, whatever. Hence, strife and friction often comes when a believer, when somebody believes in Christ Jesus, in a family where people don't believe God, and now somebody can say, I receive Christ today. Somebody preached and I believe the word of God, and now I'm a Christian. Automatically, strife comes to that family. Why? Because maybe your father still remains an idol worshiper, or he does not still believe, and then your mother the same. Only you now say, I'm a believer. There will be strife and tension. But this is where the choice comes. This is where the preference comes. Would I do what my father is saying, or what my friend is saying, or what my children tell me, or what Jesus says? This is the cost of discipleship. When you have to make the right decision in such situations. More than your career. Love Jesus more than your career. Yeah. Jesus is interested in your career. That is why before you choose your career, you even have to pray and seek God and ask for God's choice. It's not everything you just choose because you are given that freedom to choose. We have that liberty to choose anything we want to. And so much so, there's so much freedom in this society that we are in. Liberty and freedom. I want to do what I like. I. Emphasis is on I. Me. In discipleship, emphasis is not on me or self, but on Christ Jesus alone. Amen. This is what we're talking about. We have freedom and liberty to choose, but remember that Jesus Christ has to be number one. More than your friends. You love your friends? Yes. But love Jesus Christ more than your friends. More than your own desires. This is very contrary to the philosophy of the age, the Laodicean age, where, you know, they talk so much about freedom and liberty. To do anything you want to be, you be. Anything you want to do, you do. But you see, freedom without limits, it leads to disaster. Jesus Christ has to be there. Amen? You can't say, I'm so free, I can do anything. But as a child of God, as a disciple, you must put into consideration what your father likes. If he does not like it, there's no way you have to like it. That is why you have to forgo certain choices in life. Certain friendships, certain places you need to go, you used to go, you no longer go there. There's one song that says, great change since I was born again. Great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. It's been a great change since I was born. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to say, I say them no more. The place I used to go, I go there no more. It's been a great change since I was born. Has that happened in your life? If you have just given your life to Christ, you are just a disciple in the process. Yes, so when you come to that point where Jesus Christ becomes number one in your preferences, in decision making, what God says in his word, that's what matters most. Then you be a disciple indeed. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul gave this illustration concerning discipleship in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Christianity is like a race. When you give your life to Christ, you've started a race. And there's no looking back in that race. Amen? Remember the passage we read. No, if a man wants to build a house, he first has to do the costing and everything. Lest when he builds it to an extent, he can't finish it, there'll be shame and disgrace. But you see, you have put your hand to the plow. There is no looking back. God has no pleasure in them that look back. God has no pleasure in them that turn back. So there's no option of turning back. In fact, in the gospel armor, we find that God has given us protection for our head, for our breast, for our for our legs. In fact, every part of our body. But there's one place that there's no protection for, and that is our back. If you turn your back on Jesus, there is no defense, no protection. If you break the hedge, the serpent will bite. So there's no turning back. Amen. So sell it all out to Jesus. He is able to take care of you. So in this race, Apostle Paul also likened this race to athletes. Athletes who are running a race, track event. Now look, you may have 7 people set out on the race, on the track event. It's only one person that will win the first prize. One person. And everybody wants to win that prize. So in the Christian race, we too, we want to win the prize. What's the prize? Eternal life. We have believed by faith that we have eternal life. But we have not yet seen it. We have not yet realized it in fullness. When you continue as a disciple, you realize it in fullness in Jesus' name. So let's run the race. Even as soldiers, we are also told as soldiers we should learn to bear hardness, to endure hardness. Soldiers in training, they endure a lot of hardness. In fact, there are some videos I've watched about training, about soldiers in training. Frightening experiences. They can pass through fire, through water, through all kinds of things. Very unpalatable, very undesirable. But it's to make them hard. It's to make them tough. That's their training. As children of God, we also learn discipline by obeying the Lord every time. Amen? Like athletes, we are going to run so that we win a prize. We will not run and buzz the air like a buzzer. Buzzers, they aim at target. They aim at a palap spot in their opponent. You know, and they don't just buzz. They miss. They hit the air or shadow buzzing. No. They buzz on target. And spiritually, as children of God, we too, we should buzz with purpose. And the Lord will give us grace in Jesus' name. In this race, we need patience. And we are told in the book of James, chapter 5, 7 to 8, that a farmer who plants his seed patiently waits for the germination of the seed. Even after germination, he has to water it. He has to take care of it, weed out all the weeds, so that the plant can grow. A lot of patience. It's not thing of harvest now. There has first to be the rain for planting. He waits patiently for that. And then there is the rain for harvest, the more. You know, that harvest rain, when it falls, it's time for harvest. A lot of patience is needed by the farmer. All this symbolism has been used to tell us that we need to endure in this race. We need to be patient with God. We don't have to give up easily. Amen. There is no need to turn back because, oh Lord, the race looks tough. No. Jesus ran the race and finished strong. What does it mean to run the race and finish strong? That is, you get the prize. Jesus Christ finished his course perfectly without sin. Somebody will say, oh, that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Okay. A disciple of Christ, like you are, Apostle Paul. He was a human being like you and me. In fact, a sinner, perhaps more than you were. He was persecuting Christians. He was an enemy of Christ, enemy of Christians. Was persecuting them until he got arrested. God arrested him on the way to Damascus, and he became a saint of the Most High God. Those children of God that he persecuted, you know, he now identified with them. In fact, he became persecuted on account of the gospel. Amen. This is a real turnaround situation. This is a transformation. When somebody is in Christ Jesus, your life, we expect that your life will be transformed. It didn't take long for Apostle Paul to show that he had believed in Christ Jesus. In fact, the very day and time, that's when things started changing in his life. It should be so. Don't just see yourself going to church. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And nothing is showing that you really believe in Jesus. Your ways are still as raw as they were. Then there is need for you to reconsider whether you are truly born again. We're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 22 to 33 to tell you about the experience of Brother Paul as he ran the race, the challenges he faced. And as you go through this, you also examine your life, because there are sometimes we feel that we are so much challenged. We have so many challenges in this world. Some of us become discouraged. Oh, this race is so tough. Lord, are you still there? He's still very much there. Just depend on him. He will give you grace to accomplish and follow and finish the race strong in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 11, 22. Verse 22, Apostle Paul had cause to say all this because there were false brethren at that time. There were those who say, oh, where is this Paul from? He wasn't with us in the beginning. And by the way, he's making so much waves. Where is he from? He's not just somebody who got converted yesterday. Look at what Apostle Paul suffered. And let's see whether the other apostles suffered likewise. And also compare whether you have suffered one-tenth or one-hundredth of what he suffered. We're not talking about Jesus suffering right now. We're talking about Apostle Paul, a disciple of Christ, just like you are, just as I am. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Apostle Paul is talking. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, more above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Let me pause there. Talk about 39 stripes. It was a law that if they were beating somebody, they should not exceed that 39. So, Apostle Paul, on different occasions, 5 times, he experienced that beating, experienced public beating on account of his faith. Verse 25, thrice I was beaten with rods. This is not the ordinary beating hand, with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck on journeys, missionary journeys, dangerous journeys. A night and a day I have been in the deep, deep waters. Verse 26, in journeys often, preaching from village to village, from city to city, in perils of waters, that's talking about seas, in perils of robbers, there were robbers in those days, and in perils of robbers, he would travel, in perils of my own countrymen, the Jews, because they were so much against him, they called him that pestilent fellow. They saw him as a strange person. In Paris, by the brethren, by the hidden. In Paris, in the city. In Paris, in the wilderness. In Paris, in the sea. In Paris, among false brethren. There were false brethren that time. And there are still false brethren today. And it pains so much when somebody you trust, when somebody who's your brother or your sister betrays you. Paul had such betrayers. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Nakedness, assuming there is winter and you are not properly clothed, it's like being naked. That's what it means there. That is, he didn't put on enough clothing for the winter. He didn't have the resources. Sometimes it happened like that, in cold and in nakedness, out of circumstances. You know, he found that he didn't have enough because he was always on the move, preaching the gospel. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Because he established churches. Anywhere he went, people believed churches were planted there. Those, this is an account of what he passed through. Not everything. Because this does not include his martyrdom. I mean, how he was killed. They all died, many of them, by martyrdom, except John, the beloved. You know, they tried to also kill him, but they couldn't kill him physically. They had to banish him to the island of Patmos. And there they thought that snakes would kill him and all that. But there he had a wonderful revelation and time with God. Amen. So no matter what the enemy plans against you, God will turn it around for your good in Jesus' name. Amen. So Apostle Paul suffered all that. What have I suffered on the account of the gospel? Remember the topic, the cost of discipleship. Because in Christian, we always talk about the goodies, the blessings, you know, the riches, the wealth, and all the good things that God has in store for us. Good. It's like believing in heaven and hell. There is heaven for reward for those who diligently serve the Lord and live a holy life. There is also hell. Some people don't want to hear about hell, but it's true. Heaven is real. Hell is real. God is a consuming fire. He's the one that blesses. And at the same time, there is persecution that goes along with these blessings. Many of us don't want to hear about this side of the story, but the blessing package only. But that's not a balanced gospel. So we must hear the total gospel that will do us good in Jesus' name. When we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, we naturally develop great zeal for the Lord. Great zeal for anything that concerns him. That's what naturally happens. This is the kind of zeal that prepared heroes and heroines of Bible, like in Hebrews chapter 11. The kind of zeal that prepared them, that they will not trade in their salvation, come what may. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you see a catalog of what brothers and sisters passed through on account of their faith. They had so much zeal. Look at, remember Daniel. Remember the three Hebrew children. They had zeal for God. And they endured all that suffering. But God turned things around. They put Daniel in the lion's den, thinking that a lion would swallow him up and eat him up. But the reverse happened. Had good fellowship with the lions. And when they put the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace that they had heated 7 times, thinking that they would just be burnt, what happened? The fourth man was there. Amen. The fourth man is Jesus. In any situation you are in, the fourth man will always be there for you. Amen. In every situation, in every second, I just call upon me in the day of trouble, and we answer you, says the Lord. Amen. It is the kind of zeal that made a young girl in Benin State, Nigeria, you know, to choose to die rather than being raped by armed robbers. It's real. They made that lady a saint in the church because of her faith. Say, rather than being raped, no, this is against God's way. You can't do that to me. Then she faced gunshots. She died. Today she's still being celebrated. She's just like one of those in Hebrews chapter 11. It is the same kind of zeal that has made Leah Sharibu. You must all have known about her. 16-year-old girl who would not deny Jesus Christ for a moment. Some spiritual brethren will say, just deny him, you repent. God is very compassionate now. And you deny him, then later on you go and fast and repent. God will forgive you. She had the option to say, would you still continue serving this your Jesus? Or you follow us to be, you know, a worshiper? She said, I cannot deny my Jesus. That's why she's been suffering and the whole world is concerned about her. And you are concerned. I believe you do pray for her. Yes, just one out of many. The love of God, the zeal. There was a girl who escaped from Boko Haram in Nigeria. And she narrated some things that happen when people are captured like that. When they invade a place and they capture boys and girls, men and women, they single out the men, they single out the women and the girls. The men, they will kill. Most cases, just kill them because they will not renounce their faith. If they say, oh, I renounce my faith, I won't believe in Jesus again, then they will be free, unquote, to continue their lives. But many will not renounce the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. And that is why some of them are in chains and in detention today, even up to now. As for the ladies, they do what you can imagine. They make slaves out of them, sex slaves. This is the horror of being captured by those people. All over the world, there's much hatred for Christianity today. Much hatred for that name, Jesus. Even in America, they hate that name. They don't want that name to be mentioned. Don't want that name to be mentioned anywhere. Say, Jesus, no. They would rather say, God. I heard somebody praying the other day. Where was any prayer? Say, I pray in Christ's name. For Christ's sake. But Jesus taught us that we should pray in his name. Amen. In the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. That's the greatest name on earth, in heaven and on earth, and other than in the earth. At which name every knee must bow. Amen. Amen. So that name is potent. It's full of power and anointing. Amen. So all these ones, they choose to follow Jesus, and that is why they are suffering. There is a man you may have heard of, the late Pastor Richard Wombrand. This man endured 14 years of imprisonment in communist China. Romania, I think. Yes, in communist land. Romania, in particular. 14 years in total. For 3 years, he sat alone in a prison cell, 30 feet below the ground level. Out of his sufferings for Christ, he wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. He's also the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs today. It's a magazine that's periodically giving out, you know, to tell you about what's happening all over the world. People love God, not only Apostle Paul. Contemporary Christians love God. We too, we should love God. Amen? The zeal that has kept the Church of God still at it today is the same zeal that prepared heroes and heroines of Bible time, like we said. Abraham, David, the three Hebrew children, Daniel, out of pure zeal, they were driven, you know, to say they will serve the Lord and never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the Church of God because of persecution. During the Dark Ages, they taught everything about Christianity to be erased, but it was not possible. Christians would rather go to underground. We are here now having great liberty. In fact, we should be sober sometime and say that, look, we are not extraordinary. We are Christians, and our brothers are suffering in various places all over the world and identify with them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 tells us to identify with them, to empathize with them, pray for them, and help them if you can. Yes, financially. The organization set up to minister to persecuted Christians all over the world, like Open Doors USA. We can do that. We can identify with our brethren by helping them, making contribution to alleviating their pain and suffering. They are suffering on account of the gospel. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God in Jesus' name. Let's talk more about denying ourselves. Because we talk about preferring Jesus to our father, to our mother, to our relation, all that. And it also says in verse 27, Luke 14, verse 27, that even yourself, you have to be ready to deny yourself. And except you do that, you are not a real disciple of Christ. That's serious, isn't it? Let's see what it all means. Deny oneself. Denying yourself means putting God above your dreams. It means saying no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It means surrendering your claims to your possessions and knowing that you are just a steward of what God has given you. It means forgiving other people instead of revenging. The average Christian still has, unforgiveness today, and it's ungodly. Unforgiveness can make people to go to hell. We should repent of all those. If you deny yourself, it means that, you allow somebody to claim right or to be, to claim his way, to just go his way rather than strife. The man of God should not strive. Amen? Should not be quarrelsome. So it means renouncing self-interest and pursuits which are contrary to God's word and will for your life. Again, I repeat, denying yourself means renouncing self-interest and pursuits and pleasures which are contrary to God's word and will. Anything that you like and it gives glory to God, there's no need to deny yourself of such. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any praise, think about those things. Amen. Use that one as a guide. The purpose is that God's name be glorified in all decisions I'm going to take. In everything, in my workplace, where to work. It's not all places, Christians. Well, it may look as too generalistic. It's not every place you would like to work. Let me put it like that. For example, I had to make that choice. When I graduated from university and I had choice to work in a brewery, it's not a sin if you are working there. But for me, let me tell you, I can say of myself, my conscience did not allow me to work in a brewery. Because what I studied qualified me to really work in that place and they paid well. I chose something else where they paid less for conscience sake. During my wedding, my other brother who sponsored my wedding, he didn't want a situation where it's only non-alcoholic beverages that are said and all that. But I said, no, I can't take that. I wouldn't want alcoholic beverage to be served in my wedding. It cost me something. I took that decision because it's some kind of pleasure. I would have enjoyed the friendship of his friends. They would have come, maybe given so much money and all that. Well, I counted the call. I said, no, these are very little things compared to what Apostle Paul suffered on account of the gospel. You have to be making choices every day. Should I go with this, my friend, to this movie? What kind of movie? Is it all movie you should attend and watch? He's inviting me to a party. What kind of party? You need to know. We call my friend. In the name of my friend, many people have been led to untimely death and sorrow. So you have to be watchful and consider whether God's name is glorified in doing anything you want to do. God wants you to enjoy pleasure, but that pleasure, we have to be in conformity with his word and will. If you are in doubt about it, read Philippians 4 verse 8. It tells you
That's a useful guide any day, any time. Amen. It is dying to self. We're talking about self-denial, like Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Apostle Paul said that. Can you say that of yourself too? We should be able, if we are disciples indeed. Galatians 2, verse 20. May the Lord give us grace to serve him acceptably in Jesus' name. Somebody has said that in discipleship, you have those who first follow Jesus because they are curious. They want to know more about Jesus, especially when Jesus Christ, he called the first disciples. You know, many of them were attracted to him because of the food he multiplied. So for that reason, many people throng around Jesus. But when he was teaching some hard things, what did they do? They fled, they ran away. And then the inner called disciples, called them disciples indeed, those who are continued, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Those who are continued, and Jesus asked them, are you also going away? He said, whom are we going to, Lord? We have no other but you. You alone. Let Jesus be the number one preference in your life. So you have the curious ones who want, oh, Jesus Christ multiplies bread and fish. He turned water into wine. So for all those, let's follow him. That's what many people are still doing today. They go to churches, they are not born again, but they want signs and wonders. They want to see cinema. That's why they are curious ones. So from stage one, curiosity stage, somebody can graduate to become a convinced follower of Christ. Not all the apostles were convinced followers of Christ from the beginning. There are some who did not actually believe that Jesus Christ would die and rise again. Even when he died, and Elizabeth and the other, Mary, that went to the grave and saw that the Jesus Christ had risen, they went to tell the other apostles. Did they believe? No, they didn't believe. That's to tell you that they were not yet convinced. But many got convinced after the resurrection. Amen. I pray that you have an encounter with Jesus that will make you get convinced in Jesus' name. Amen. That resurrection power convinced many of them that time. But before then, they didn't believe. Even while Jesus Christ was walking with them on the way to Emmaus, they were telling some funny story about one man. He said, Jesus Christ disguised himself. He was just there with them. He said, I hear you talking about one man. Tell me more. I want to hear more about that story. Oh, are you a foreigner? So you don't be around. You don't hear about the story about one man. We thought he was going to be the savior, you know, this, but look at what happened. They killed him, you know, the hope, our hope. But it's gone. It's gone. Huh? Is that so? They didn't know until Jesus Christ opened the spiritual veil. He removed the veil from their eyes and they saw him. Say, my Lord and my God. Amen. Amen. May the Lord remove every spiritual veil from our eyes today that we behold him as he is. He's the one that died for us and know that person. He's the one that died and was buried and he rose again. No other founder of religion has done that. He's the only one who comes and resides in those who believe in him. That is why we can say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. In rounding up, brothers and sisters, there's reward for discipleship. When you fully follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a great reward following. Amen. So I wanted to examine all those. Now look, remember as we deny ourselves, we carry the cross. And by the way, the cross is a symbol of Christ, quite all right. But before Christ ever died on the cross, there had been crosses. Today, people used cross as an ornament, jewelry ornament, you know. But that's not the cross of Christ. Some people worship the cross physically. Some people, you know them. So, but that's not what we're talking about. Carrying the cross means bearing the consequences of following the law as a true soldier of Christ, bearing persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all that must live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All, including you and me, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. So, the Lord's grace is sufficient for us in Jesus' name. So, we have peace with God when you follow Christ fully. And it becomes number one, peace that passes understanding all the time. Fulfillment of life's purpose, the purpose why God created you, you have fulfilled it. God supplies all your needs, according to Philippians 4, verse 19. He supplies all your needs. Remember, needs and wants are different too. Remember, there's difference. Needs and wants. God, my God, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All that you need will provide for you in Jesus' name. You will not lack. Your children will not lack. Your family will not lack in Jesus' name. Yes. So if you follow God fully, he will make sure he satisfies you, you know, supplying all your needs. A conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. That's what you have. A clear conscience fears no accusation. No accusation before God, no accusation before friends and even enemies. If a man's way pleases the Lord, what does he do? He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Many people are so enemy conscious and they wish them to fall down and die. They wouldn't follow the scriptures. Jesus Christ said we should even pray for them. If a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you are so surrounded by enemy, try to please the Lord. And see, God will turn them around and get to love you. Amen. I'm telling you that it's true. Assurance of eternity. Assurance without doubt in your heart because you follow the Lord truly and wholly. Then divine approval is awaiting you at the end of the journey. Could be in the rapture, translation, whatever. Some people have gone even before that time. You know, there'll be a glorious welcome in heaven. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what every one of us should await. No man's approval. Men may applaud you today and God will disapprove of you tomorrow. We don't want that. We want God's divine approval. Amen. May he approve of you, both now and eternity in the name of Jesus. As an overcomer, you will reign with Christ eternally. Revelation 3:21 says, he that overcometh, you know, shall sit with me and reign with me. We shall reign with Christ in the name of Jesus. And then confidence of answered prayer. You are praying and there's nothing that will hinder your prayer. Because you have the mind of God and you pray, you know, in God's will, you are living a holy life. God will answer your prayer. Amen. Then Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 tells us something, that God has special favorites, and you are one of them. Amen. Yes, these favorites, people who have loved the Lord, we also recognize them in due time and reward them openly. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. Are we there? Yeah. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then shall ye return, verse 18, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and them that serveth him not. If you follow unfaithfully to serve the Lord as a disciple indeed, you will be recognized by the Lord. I will give you a glorious welcome in Jesus' name. There is a promise for those who are overcomers of this age. God has promised that before the great tribulation sets in, he's going to take them up in the air in the translation. Amen. That's a great reward waiting for those who are disciples indeed and who are rapture ready. They will not face the great tribulation under the Antichrist system. And we are getting close to that time period now. So this is time for us to make sure we are ready. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, where shall you be? Where shall I be? May the Lord grant us grace to run the race and finish strong. And have a glorious welcome in Jesus' name. We are going to round up with a hymn. It says, it pays to serve Jesus, no matter the cost. And when we sing this song, there's a place, say, talking about dying on the post, we say, I stand at my post. Amen. Substitute it with that. So we're going to sing that song. It pays to serve Jesus. I will start it here. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. He always be with us if we do our part. There's none in this wide world can pleasure afford. There's peace and contentment in serving the Lord. I love it far better than the days of yore. I serve him more truly than ever before. I do as he bids me, whatsoever they call. I be a true soldier, I stand at my post. May the Lord help you, may the Lord help me to have a glorious welcome at the end of our race in Jesus' name. If you are here, you have not known Jesus, you are not very sure of your salvation, this time to bow down your head and ask him to come in, to be Lord indeed. Many people say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But it's not their Lord. They say, Jesus is Lord. But is he really your Lord? If Jesus is your Lord, it means your master. It means you do things to please him. That's what it means, Lordship of Jesus Christ. You are subject to his will. May that be your portion indeed. You subject yourself, submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your heart in Jesus' name. And when you do that, he will exalt you above your enemies. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless your hearts.